Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. As we ended our discussion last week of the fact that God does not change, we looked at some verses in 2 Peter chapter 3 that I want to review as we start the teaching this morning. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things being the return of the Lord for the establishment of the Messianic kingdom, says, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot, and blameless, meaning not walking in sins, but walking uprightly before the Lord. Remembering that 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, defines sin as that which is contrary to the Torah, or lawlessness is the term in the New King James Version of the Bible, and it means that which is contrary to the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. Verse 15 of 2 Peter 3 goes on to say, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In other words, the Lord has not returned to establish the kingdom yet because he's wanting more and more people to be saved. That's why the kingdom has not yet come. Says, as our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, that is, of the return of the Lord and walking uprightly in righteousness, in which are some things hard to understand." Meaning the Apostle Paul was very bright, he was very intelligent, he was very articulate, but he's also very hard to understand sometimes because of the way that he wrote. It goes on to say in 2 Peter 3, "...which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures." So the Apostle Peter warns that you can misread the Apostle Paul's writings to the point that you do it to your own destruction, that is, to the point that you miss out on salvation. And one of the things that the Apostle Paul teaches that gets so misconstrued is that we are not under the law, but we are under grace. And the word under there is a Greek word hupa, which is more commonly translated of. So what Paul was trying to tell us is that we are not saved by the works of the law, but rather we're saved by faith. That's not a new concept. That's the way it's always been. If you go back and read Genesis chapter 15, you'll find that it says that Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. So salvation has always been by faith. And Galatians 3 tells us that the law which was given at Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19 and following, it says that which came 430 years later cannot disavow or abolish or undo the fact that salvation's by faith. What people misunderstand is they then think that therefore the law has been abolished. They misread Paul's writings in Romans 10:4 and they think the law has been abolished, or at least that it doesn't apply anymore. Or at least that's the way some people read it. That is, some people read it to say you can go out and murder, rape, steal, lie, God doesn't care anymore. But most people realize that that's really not the case. Rather, what most people do is they say, well, we have different types of commandments, and anything that's ceremonial, like things done in the temple, or things associated with the feasts and festivals of Leviticus 23, or things associated with the Sabbath, those are the things that have been done away with, or abolished, or annulled, or no longer apply, etc. So what I thought I would do today is let's go back and take a look at some of the scriptures on those three points. The things that happen in the tabernacle and later the temple. Things that are associated with the feasts and the festivals. And the things that are associated with the Sabbath. And see what God had to say about those. One thing I can tell you for sure is that we as believers in Messiah and children of God, we sometimes, or maybe even frequently, disappoint our Heavenly Father, but we never really surprise Him. That is, He knows all that's coming. So if we go back to Exodus chapter 27, verse 21, it says, "In the tabernacle of meeting, outside the veil, which is before the testimony, testimony referring to the Ark of the Covenant. Aaron and his sons shall tend it from evening until morning before the Lord. It shall be a statute forever to their generations on behalf of the children of Israel. So God tells us that tending the menorah in the temple is a statute forever. And I'm going to go through 20 scriptures that keep reiterating the fact that these commandments that people of today say have been abolished are statutes forever. That was the first, Exodus 27:21. Then Exodus 28:43 says, they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they come into the tabernacle of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister in the holy place, that they do not incur iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and his descendants after him. So this commandment is that they must wear linen trousers when they're ministering before the Lord. And the linen cloth is, of course, symbolic of the burial cloth of our Messiah Yeshua, and reminds us that everything done in the temple is a teaching about the death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah. So that's two. The third comes from Exodus 29:28, which says, it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever, for it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering the children of Israel from their sacrifices of their peace offerings, that is their heave offering to the Lord. So this verse says that the parts of the wave offering that are for the priest, this is a statute forever. So this is the third verse in which God specifically says these things related to the temple are a, quote, statute forever, unquote. In Exodus chapter 30, verse 21, it says, so they shall wash their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a statute forever to them, to him and his descendants throughout their generations. That is, the washing of the hands and the feet before entering the sanctuary is a statute forever. Then Leviticus chapter 6, verse 18, says, all the males among the children of Aaron may eat it. It shall be a statute forever in your generations concerning the offerings made by fire to the Lord. Everyone who touches them must be holy. So anybody who touches an offering made by fire to the Lord must be holy. And this is the fifth time that God says it shall be a statute forever, quote unquote. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 22, it says the priest from among his sons, that is Aaron's sons, who is anointed in his place shall offer it. It is a statute forever to the Lord. It shall be wholly burned. So the grain offering that is for the priest must be wholly burned on the altar in the temple. And God says again, it is a, quote, statute forever, unquote. Then Leviticus chapter 7, verse 34, it says, for the breast of the wave offering and the thigh of the heave offering I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings, and I have given them to Aaron the priest and to his sons from the children of Israel by a statute forever. So the wave and the heave offerings are a statute forever, as God says so very clearly. Leviticus 7:36, the Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by a statute forever throughout their generations. Again, God reiterates that the offerings being done at the sanctuary is a statute forever. Then in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 9, it says, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. That is, priests must not drink before entering the sanctuary, lest they make mistakes in their duties and incur the wrath of God and die, as did two of the sons of Aaron. But God says it is a statute forever. Then Leviticus chapter 10, verse 15, says, the thigh of the heave offering and the breast of the wave offering they shall bring with the offering of fat made by fire, to offer as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be yours and your sons with you by a statute forever, as the Lord has commanded. So another reference to the sacrifices and offerings, this time to the wave offering, that it shall be a statute forever, as God uses those very words. This is 10 times that I've read so far this morning where God says it shall be a statute forever. Let us remind ourselves of Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where the Lord said, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." So if God says again and again that this is a statute forever, it means that it can never be broken, it can never be undone, it can never be overturned, it can never be repealed. Otherwise, God breaks his word, and God cannot do that. Remember the scripture we read last week where God said, "I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should change my mind"? God does not change. Now that's just 10 times where God said in the Torah, in the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, that this is a statute forever. In case people say, "Well, 10's not enough to persuade me," let's look at another 10. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29, says, "This shall be a statute forever for you. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, that is in the fall, on the 10th day of the month of Tishri," it falls about our September to October, says, "you shall afflict your souls," which means to fast, to eat nothing, drink nothing. It says, "and do no work at all," which means it is a high Sabbath, a day in which God forbids any kind of work. And it says, "whether a native of your own country," meaning whether a Jewish person, "or a stranger who dwells among you," that means a Gentile who is grafted into Israel, like the Apostle Paul describes in Romans chapter 11, as like a wild olive branch being grafted into a cultivated olive tree. There were Gentiles, even back in the earliest days of the nation of Israel, who said, "We want to go with you, for you know that your God is with you." Like the book of Ruth describes Ruth saying, "Where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. I'll worship no God but yours." They chose to be a part of the people. They're called in the New Testament God-fearers, thubomenoton theon, which means those who worship the true and living God. And they would keep the feasts and the festivals. They ate kosher. They looked a lot like Jews, but they were not. They were Gentiles. So Leviticus 16:29 says that the fast and the rest of the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, is forever. It's a statute forever. And it's clearly stated as being both for the Jews and for the Gentiles who want to worship the Lord our God. Then going on in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 31, which is still about the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, which is one of the fall festivals that we talked about, that teaches Messiah's return for the Battle of Armageddon, that has not yet been fulfilled, but will be shortly. Of that festival, it says in Leviticus 16:31, "It is a Sabbath of solemn rest for you," which means no work on that day, "and you shall afflict your souls. It is a statute forever." So we're to keep the Day of Atonement forever. We're supposed to fast on the day, and we're supposed to rest on the day. Then Leviticus chapter 17, verse 7, says, "They shall no more offer their sacrifices to demons after whom they've played the harlot. This shall be a statute forever for them throughout their generations." So this commandment says sacrifices can only be done at the tabernacle, or later the temple, the place where God puts his name in Jerusalem, and there is to be no more idolatry. No more idolatry. So no Christmas trees, no Easter eggs, etc. These are things that come out of pagan idolatry and have been adapted to Christian worship. And God said in Deuteronomy 12, don't do that. Don't take things that have been used to worship the pagan idols and use it to worship me. He doesn't want it. So in Leviticus 17:7, again he says, a statute forever, quote unquote. Then Leviticus chapter 23, we've looked at four instances in the past, and we'll look at them again. In Leviticus 23:14, it says, "You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day that you brought an offering to your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings." So this is the commandment to keep the first fruits of the barley harvest festival, which is part of Passover, and therefore Passover forever. In Leviticus 23:31, says, "And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work on it." So it's a Sabbath day. "It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." Leviticus 23:21 is describing the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, or Pentecost. So verses 14 and 21 taken together cover the spring feasts of Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and the Feast of Weeks. And God says these are to be done as a statute forever. Then in Leviticus chapter 31, we come to the fall festivals. It says, "You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generation and all your dwellings." That's referring specifically to the Day of Atonement, or Yom Kippur, which is one of the three fall festivals. And then in Leviticus 23, verse 41, it refers to another of the fall festivals, which says, "You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month." That's describing the Feast of Tabernacles, which Zechariah 14:16 says all the Gentiles that are left in the entire world after the Battle of Armageddon are going to go up every year to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, which tells us very clearly it's not just for Jews, but it's for all people. So verses 14 and 21 describe the spring festivals as being statutes forever, and verses 31 and 41 describe the fall festivals as being statutes forever, that is never to be abolished. In Leviticus chapter 24, verse 3, it says, "Outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations." So this is a commandment to keep the oil burning in the menorah, in the tabernacle, and later the temple, as a statute forever. That's why when you find that in the prophetic scriptures, when it describes the Lord returning and establishing the kingdom, the first thing he does is to rebuild the temple. The sacrifices and offerings begin again. The menorah is lit again. All these things that God said are a statute forever have not been abolished. They've been interrupted while the temple was not with us, but they've never been abolished. Numbers chapter 18, verse 23 says, "But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance." That is, the Levites will serve in the sanctuary, first the tabernacle, later the temple, and this is by a statute forever. Again, in Ezekiel 43 and 44, you find when the Lord returns, he establishes the temple, and the Levites go back to work in the temple. These statutes have never been abolished. Numbers chapter 19, verse 10. The final one from this list says, "And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer," meaning the red heifer, "shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them." Again, it's very clear the references to Jews and Gentiles alike who are going to worship the Lord. So this last one, Numbers 19:10, is about the slaughter of the red heifer. If you've been watching the news, you know that Israel has qualified red heifers today that they intend to slaughter in keeping with this ancient commandment before Messiah returns to establish the temple. So here we have 20 examples from the scriptures, from the Torah, in fact, the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God that in the New Testament is referred to in my New King James Version of the Bible as the law. And while people may say the law has been abolished, God said these are statutes forever, which means they will never be abolished. Now, that was just 20 examples where the phrase "a statute forever" is used in the scriptures. Now let's look at one that deals with the term ordinance. The Torah is broken down to commandments, statutes, and ordinances. So in Exodus chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "And you shall observe this thing," that is the Passover, "as an ordinance for you and your sons forever." It was never to be abolished. The Passover is eternal. Numbers chapter 10, verse 8, "The sons of Aaron the priest shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. So the blowing of trumpets, to call the assemblies, to call the feasts and the festivals, to call the Shabbats, the Sabbaths, all those things, God says this is an ordinance forever, meaning never to be abolished. Numbers chapter 15, verse 15 says, one ordinance shall be for you of the assembly, and for the stranger who dwells with you, an ordinance forever throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the stranger be before the Lord. Meaning, the Gentiles who choose to worship the Lord will keep the same commandments, statutes, and judgments as the children of Israel. That's what Numbers 15, verse 15 says. And at this point, I know there are people out there in the listening audience saying, but that's inconsistent with the New Testament. Really? Let's see what the Bible says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and we know 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul, the Apostle to the Gentiles. And 1 Corinthians is to a Gentile Christian church. We know that from 1 Corinthians 12, 2, which says, you know that you were Gentiles. So what Paul tells them in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 19, it says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. What does that say? But keeping the commandments of God is what matters, whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile. So it's absolutely consistent. Numbers 15:15 and 1 Corinthians 7:19 are consistent. Numbers 18:8 says, and the Lord spoke to Aaron, here, I myself have also given you charge of my heave offerings, all the holy gifts of the children of Israel. I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. So the fact that offerings were to support the priests as they served in the temple is an ordinance forever. We find the same thing in Numbers 18:11. This also is yours, the heave offering of their guilt, of their gift, excuse me, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them to you and your sons and your daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Numbers 18:19. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Covenant of salt means it can never be broken. Again, we find in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 37, says, and the statutes, the ordinances, the law, meaning the Torah, and the commandment which he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. To fear other gods means you shall not worship nor obey other gods. So we're to worship and obey the Lord our God only. And that's why, again, we see in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says, now it shall come to pass in the latter days, the end of days, the day time of the Messianic kingdom, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations, meaning Gentiles, shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God said they were forever, and it tells us when Messiah returns, he's going to teach them. Again, in Micah 4, it says, now, starting verse 1, now it shall come to pass in the Acharit Hayamim, the end of days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills. Many people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion, this prophetic Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, the law, the Torah, shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So 2 Kings 17:37 says, in the statutes, the ordinances, the law, and the commandments he wrote for you, you shall be careful to observe forever. You shall not fear other gods. And finally, in 2 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 4, it says, behold, I am building a temple for the name of the Lord my God, to dedicate it to him, to burn before him sweet incense, for the continual showbread, for the burnt offerings morning and evening, on the Sabbaths, on the new moons, and on the set feasts of the Lord our God. This is an ordinance forever to Israel. So the sacrifices, the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the feasts, it says, are forever. Now, in our last few minutes, let's take a specific look at the Sabbath, which is the seventh day. We call it today Friday night at sundown to Saturday night at sundown. It says in Exodus chapter 31, verse 12, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death, for whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath, throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." And then from Isaiah chapter 56, we learn that the Sabbath is specifically for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. It says in verse 1 of Isaiah 56, "Thus says the Lord, Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath, and keeps his hand from doing any evil." And then in verse 6 it says, "Also the sons of the foreigner," that is non-Jew, the heathen actually, "who join themselves to the Lord," that is they repent of their idolatry and their foreign ways and they want to join themselves to the Lord, "to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I'll bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And if you remember, our Messiah Yeshua quotes this in the book of Matthew. And in verse 8 of Isaiah 56, it says, "The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel says, Yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him." That is, when it comes time for the millennial kingdom, Messiah is going to gather not just the Jewish people who are faithful to him, who keep the Sabbath, who keep his commandments, but he's also going to gather the Gentiles who will keep the Torah, who will keep the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God, who will honor the Sabbath and not break the Sabbath and will hold fast to God's covenants. And I did a quick look, and in the New King James Version of the Bible, which is the one that I use, the word Sabbath appears 155 times. 96 times in what we call the Old Testament, and 59 times in what we call the New Testament. So 155 times God reiterates the importance of the Sabbath to him. So what is the point of all these scriptures that I have read to you this morning? The point is that, as Malachi chapter 3 verse 6 says, the Lord does not change. And when the Lord says over and over and over again that the commandments, statutes, and judgments having to do with the temple and its sacrifices and the menorah and all those things associated with the temple, those things associated with the feast and festival, Leviticus 23, and those things associated with the Sabbath are statutes forever, that means God is not going to change them. We have misunderstood in the New Testament church of today the writings of the Apostle Paul to make us think that these things have been abolished, when in actuality they've not. So next year, we'll continue this teaching.